Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday. Thursday, August 14th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today, we're going to be doing something different. I actually have a comedian who's going to be in studio. And I want to actually have a narrative, right? Have a discussion with him about his journey. Because he's a young guy. Right? And he's a young guy. We'll have a conversation about his journey on becoming a comedian, right? Also, I want to talk about what's trending inside the news, get some of his opinions on that. We're going to be shooting the breeze whilst we're here. I just want to get that narrative. But before we start, Aaron Green wanted to give a, what do you call those announcements? Community announcement?
Yeah, it is like a community announcement.
It's a PA. What do you call that?
It's like a it's not a PSA, but it's a public announcement.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Right, and thank you very much. We didn't get it. My guests didn't get it in the last hour. We're looking for Joshua Haywood II. Joshua Haywood II is a member of the Black Box Open Mic, and we don't want to be sound alarmist, right? But he is one of our best members, and we haven't spoken to him in over 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to make contact with him.
Okay.
And we're reaching out, if anybody, family members of Joshua Haywood II, like if he's fine, just shoot us a signal and say, hey, everything is okay.
You don't have a cell phone?
I do have a cell phone. We all have his cell phone contact, and we've been unable to get in contact with him via cell phone to cell phone, regular phone to cell phone. Mm. We've asked people who know the family to reach out, and we've gotten no word back yet. So we just, as a group, you know, we don't want to just slack off and say, well, hey, his people will take care of that. We just want to make sure that we can raise an alarm if an alarm needs to be raised. Joshua Haywood II, we're looking for you. If you're going on a sugar apple vacation to the island and you
ain't
tell
come
us.
To no practice?
No, he hasn't attended any meetings. So we're a little concerned and we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
Okay.
And so just sending out a quick little APB, Joshua Haywood II. If all is well, just send us a signal and say all is well.
Good.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nuri.
Yeah, man, take care. I appreciate you, man. So my guest today is no other than Keno E. Forbes. I hope I pronounced that right, right? I mean, not that I pronounced it wrongly. It's just that he carries his full name as part of his caricature for his comedian thing. But I wanted to introduce him properly, and I'm excited about this interview. Because, you know, when you just meet people casually, and in that casual conversation, you say, I can make space for you. I'm going to make space for you on the radio. So we just talk. Shoot the breeze. Let's have some man talk today. So without further ado, bring the mic closer to your mouth so you can speak. Okay? Introduce yourself formally. Go ahead.
Salutations, Mr. Nuri. Many thanks for the opportunity to be on the show, honestly. I truly appreciate it.
Good. And this is your first time on radio, right?
First time on radio. And I must say, it's quite an experience. I'm quite flabbergasted. I just never expect to be. I never expected to be. Honestly, it's quite surprising. I do say
yes. And Keno just recently graduated with a bachelor's degree from the University of the Bahamas. Which year did you graduate again?
Which year?
You finished.
Oh, which year I finished the University of the Bahamas?
Yes.
Oh, this year, 2025.
Oh, you just finished. Okay, 2025, and he has a bachelor's degree in psychology.
Affirmative.
And he decided to manage and put this degree on the side, and I'm going to become a full time comedian, and I'm going to go in a narrative of that and how he decided to pursue that, right? Keno E. Forbes, that's how he says his name, right? Was one of those COVID-19 graduates, right? In the middle of COVID, they taking exams and transitioned into University of the Bahamas, did classes online, basically did not even attend the class until late. To the end of his term, and then he got a bachelor's degree. And I want to also hear that narrative also, because I'm going to have a school special in the future, right, about what to expect at the University of the Bahamas, attending college abroad. But I want to also hear Keno's journey of finding himself saying, man, I this psychology degree, it's good, but I'm going to use that as part of my poetry skit. So let's start off with here. Who is Kino E. Forbes?
Ah, yes. Who is Kino E. Forbes? Well, there's many names to describe me, honestly, and I hope I could describe myself properly while being explicit. Well, I'm just a person who just like, I try to be myself, honestly. A person who just strives to be themselves in each and every way, you know? I try to really push myself to be better and better each and every day, honestly. Just like any person should, you know, whether they strive for a dream or not. Just like being yourself and just really striving, honestly, you know? Striving to make yourself be known in this world. That's what I always strive for each and every day, I would say.
Okay, so you graduated. What did you graduate from CV? CV Bethel, first of all.
Affirmative.
And you graduated CV Bethel. And what year that was, and then what happened in terms of you wanted to pursue your education?
So I graduated CV Bethel in 2020, and immediately I was just like thrust. I didn't have a graduation. I was just like thrusted into the real world so fast. But luckily, like back then, before the pandemic really took effect and the quarantine really took effect, I applied to the University of the Bahamas. And funny enough, you know, the University of Bahamas is actually my plan B. It was never really like my intended like university to go to. I was planning to go to to one university in America, in Atlanta. I can't remember the name, but I do remember during the college fair, there was a bunch of like students, like black students with a red university, and they wanted to apply there because, you know, those are my people. So I was like, yes, I should go there. But, you know, the lockdown happened and, you know, and those plans, they came to be. So I had to like, you know, decide, okay, I'll go to the University of the Bahamas instead. And that was the plan, honestly. Yes.
So you said CV Bethel didn't have a graduation that year, or you had a graduation ceremony and then the lockdown happened.
Oh, first, well, we didn't have a prom or a graduation, a proper graduation, so to speak.
Describe your graduation. I want to just understand that. Go ahead.
Oh, they had a graduation ceremony. I never went because you had to pay to get in, which
I'm like... You had to pay to get into your own graduation?
It was like a graduation ceremony. It was more like a drive-through ceremony. No certificates or anything. It was just like the basic graduation ceremony with the certificates, honestly. So it's kind of pointless to go regardless, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So you graduated and then you eventually applied to UB. Was there a lockdown then, or did you go on campus and then the lockdown happened? How did that happen?
Oh, this was amidst lockdown. So there were some points during the lockdown where some students could some individuals could like go about as they please. But obviously with restrictions, of course, you know, 6 feet apart, you know, stuff like that. It was very early back then, but as I remembered, it was just mainly me going in like in person, you know, make sure I all my documents are on or whatnot. And yeah, just me going under like COVID like restrictions or whatnot, just like trying to like apply for my classes or whatnot, I would say.
Okay. So you did most of your assignments, classes online.
For a majority of my classes was done online, which luckily I took great advantage of that because, man, doing the classes online, doing classes in person now, I pray for those students, man. They were tough. But lucky for me, I had Quizlet and photo math, so I was able to get through that very quickly. I mean, of course I studied, you know, I studied. I'm quite a avid studier. It's just that I took a lot of classes, and so I was able to take advantage of that to really, like, get to really advance myself far, I would say.
Okay. I know you were talking to my chat, and I was mentioned about my chat have social anxiety, and you also mentioned that you might have may have had challenges being on UB's big campus. So you took advantage of studying online, right? What type of challenges do you think that you were uneasy with the campus itself?
I would say, okay, I even endured these same challenges your child endured back then. It was really a jarring place, you know. I still have social anxiety myself, like being in large crowds. I tend to like huddle myself in a corner and just like go on my phone and check out the weather channel because it's just so, it gets too much sometimes, I do say. So I do relate to your child being like socially anxious, I would say. But the university does have like certain facilities, the counseling services actually. I can't remember where it's at, but it's close by. If you ask any university staff member, they'll like direct you to the counseling department actually to get like, you know, treated for like, you know, anxiety, whatnot. Talk to a professional psychologist and counselor so you could like deal with your problems more professionally, I would say.
Okay. So now you've graduated, right? It's 2025. You graduated. You're supposed to get a job like normal people, right? And yes. You get a degree, a bachelor's degree in psychology, and you decided that I'm going to put this on the side. You decided that you think that you're funny, right? When did you decide it, or when did you reach that point where you said, man, I'm funny. I can tell jokes for a living, man.
Well, I always knew it was kind of funny. The thing with me is that, like, I was a lonely child growing up. You know, I didn't have much friends or didn't have much family members to talk to. So I kind of entertained myself, you know, by making, like, jokes or whatnot. And eventually I was like during the pandemic, which was my time of self-reflection, I was like, hey, I should do comedy, you know, because, like, having a psychology degree is good, but what if, like, I can't find a job, you know, to make use of my psychology degree? And so I was like, hey, let me try to do comedy, you know? What could go wrong? This was me back then thinking that I could, like, do anything, because, like, I was, like, 17 at the time in 2020, and so, like...
How old are you now?
Oh, I,
I forget my age all the time, too.
Yeah, same, actually. I'm 22 years old. I'm going to be 23 this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Happy pre-birthday.
Thanks.
So now you having a self-introspection, right? You decide that, hey, I might have some challenges finding a job with your career, your aspirations, and you decided to do comedy. What was, you said you always thought you were funny, that you tell, right, to write your own jokes, you tell your own jokes to yourself, right? When was the first time you decided to go on stage, or you decided to perform a skit act, or whatever, I forget the right term for it. Hopefully, you correct me for that. In front of people.
Oh yes, this was while I was 17 at the time. No, I think I was like 18 actually. My first bar gig, my real first bar gig was unpaid, by the way. It was at, I can't remember what the place is called, but the bar is shut down now. But it happened on August 14, 2021, when I was 18, actually. Around the same time, I started acting, actually, around Whoopi's Nixon in April of 2021. But at the time, they still had COVID restrictions. So while bars were a bit loose, not much people could be around. And yeah, so yeah. I did my set there, and it went all right, you know? It was that old.
So how did you know that they were having performances there that you can call in, or that you could volunteer, that you can sign up? How did you know that was happening?
Honestly, it's so weird how things happen. Life has its mysterious ways of working. I didn't even know the space had like a gig happening. I just for some reason found like a karaoke like flyer some part on Facebook. I was like, hey, maybe I should call and ask them, do they also have comedy, if I could also perform my comedy as well, you know? Because I didn't expect I could do my comedy. It was more like a karaoke gig originally. So the fact that I did comedy there was kind of a blessing in itself, I would say.
So how did that go, that first instance?
It went well. I still have the footage of that old, like, show, my very first gig. And, man, I was nervous. It was...
I can bet.
Yeah, Jesus.
Because I wanted to do comedy at one point in time. At times, I still think that I'm funny. But I did... a comedy set at College of the Bahamas way back when. I got booed off the stage, right? So I knew that comedy wasn't me. I'm not funny at all, right? I tried again later on and got booed off the stage again, right? But acting was what I thought I was going to be. No, it didn't work out. I'm not that funny. So to see that you are pursuing this as a career, right? As a career to be an actor, a voice actor, as a comedian, that says wonders, that you're a brave man. I was going to just stick with psychology one time and try to get one job. But tell me about your second gig.
My second gig? What happened? My second gig. Actually, my second gig was a time I tried an attempt of hosting my own kind of comedy club. It was more like I was borrowing like a venue from one of my old high school English teachers. And I was able to like convince, more like bribe, a university student and her family to come along just so I could perform that same set I did at the first bar to them, honestly. And it went, I wouldn't say it went bad. It's just, I feel as if I shouldn't have charged them for like coming afterwards.
You owe them change. Go ahead. Go finish, talk.
It went well. It's just that I know that I realized that a lot of my jokes had too much fluff, you know? This was back then when I realized, okay, I didn't realize that, oh yeah, comedy should like, you should cut down the fluff, you know, too much words, you know, would kind of throw the audience off, you know? And it's like, I feel like comedy sets should be like joke after joke, some setup, and some jokes, you know? But back then, I was very inexperienced. And yeah, I wouldn't say I scammed them. I feel like I did, because I feel as if I didn't truly make them laugh. Mm. Honestly, I don't know where that woman is now. I haven't talked to her since.
I'm sure she's looking for you.
No, she's fine. I mean, I don't owe them money. Mm. I don't think.
You don't think?
No, no problem. It should be fine.
You've met Soya Boy. In fact, we stopped there as you were coming in, right, to give your salutations to Soya Boy. I think you mentioned that you had to introduce him to a sec or some kind of a comedy thing. I'm not sure if that's what you said.
Oh, it was a career symposium, actually. Mm-hmm. So, funny enough, like one of my psychology students, my psychology classmate, recommend me to like to speak, to introduce Soya Boy to a career symposium, which honestly, I was quite surprised by. I was worthy of the opportunity, honestly. I was so surprised by that. So I introduced Soya Boy there. The people really liked how I introduced him, and so I was able to get Soya Boy's like personal contact. And from there, I believe like 2 weeks after that, I met Soya Boy in person for the Tuga Comedy Club, where he also performed there. And I did my BTC and a live comedy set there. And he really liked it, honestly. It was quite surprising to see, because, you know, it's quite surprising because, of course, like Soya Boy is one of like the one of the Bahamian greats. So the fact I was able to impress him, you know, speaks in itself, I would say. But I'm not cocky of it at all. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I understand. So who would you say is your favorite Bahamian comic besides yourself? Besides yourself now, you know, because you got to promote yourself. Besides yourself, and you say, I like his style. Oh, I like her set. And is there any particular Bahamian comic that you'll say, that's that person good? I would like to be in his space, her space in the future.
It depends, honestly. So there's basically three Bahamian comedians that I would say like that I'm close, not close to, but like that I'm comfortable with to say that maybe that I would say they're pretty up there, you know. Of course, it's Soya Boy. That's cool. He's more of an actor, but I'll say he's a comedian too. Mm-hmm. Shadford is there too. I would really, honestly, while I like Soya Boy's like act and whatnot, he's really good. Don't get me wrong. If I have to choose one, I would choose all of them, by the way. I'm not being biased, but I guess I'll choose Shadfur, honestly. Because, like, with Shadfur, his comedy style is unique, I would say. Because it's more him. I don't really see any other, like, comedians that Shadfur is trying to emulate. Because, like, with a lot of comedians in the Bahamas, a lot of comedians in general, they try to mimic, like, what works. They try to mimic Richard Pryor, Kevin Hart, David Letterman, all the stuff, you know? But with Shadfur, he's very unique. I don't see like anybody. I don't see anybody but Shadfur when he does his comedy set.
Have you worked with Shadfur yet?
Have I worked with him? Paid gigs or just
no?
Like,
just work. Just work with him.
I haven't really worked with him. More like I just frequently come to his comedy sets for the Four Walls, for the Tuga Bar, whatnot.
Okay, good. What type of style of comic would you say, in terms of your personality? What is your act? What is your gimmick? Like, you come on stage, what is your personality you trying to portray on stage?
Honestly, I'm just myself, I would say. Like, I'm still a bit somber at the moment because, like, I'm not really fully myself. I'm still holding back in my comedy. I do feel as if, like, I'm not fully comedic yet. I would describe my comedy style as being comedic. While I'm still myself, I would be more expressive and more lively, I would say. Mm. But to fully describe my comedy set, I would say it's myself, of course. But I would say I strive to be comedic in a sense. No matter what it takes, I'll like, you know, get to the joke, get to the punchline. Like, without offending people, because I don't curse my comedy sets. I don't use profanity. I don't say weird stuff. I don't offend people. I just like say a lot of weird stuff because I'm just weird as a person. As I've been told.
You mentioned that being weird, you think that you're weird. People have considered that you're weird, right? Some people say your style is just different off dress, how you come across, right? It's different, weird, right? Does that bother you that people consider that your style is weird, that you are weird? Did you have an issue with that growing up? Did you have an issue with that going to UB? Do you have an issue with that coming on a comedian stage and people say, you know what, this be weird, right?
I mean, Well, growing up, of course, the kids were cruel, very cruel. Oh boy. But I just got used to it, honestly. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm weird. So just that's the way I'm, honestly. And yeah, I wear gloves whenever I do my comedy set. I won't tell you why, because reasons. But
you have reasons why you wear gloves?
Oh, affirmative. Everybody have their reasons for the stuff they do.
I'm not going to ask you, why you wear gloves, but you wear gloves.
Oh, affirmative. Whenever I do comedy or even off stage as well, sometimes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just the way I'm, honestly. I mean, what is the better way to describe it, honestly? I see it as like being unique. You know, not everybody is like me. You know, as a Bahamian, as like anybody else. I'm just unique as a person, I guess. You know, I never thought about it like that.
You believe you can survive as a comedian in the Bahamas? There's a place for you. There's money to be made, especially I'm sure that there's limited space. There's limited venues that a comedian can perform. And when you do have space, they want the best of the best, the creme de la creme. Is there space for new emerging talent to come and say, hey, I think I'm funny. Give me an opportunity. Let me say one joke.
Okay, I will say, starting out, it was really tough, like trying to find your own voice and trying to find necessary gigs. It wasn't up until to the point where the Four Walls was doing their open mic night, and when Shotfer was doing his open mic night as well, I couldn't be finding much gigs, like starting out as a comedian. So it was really tough. So if it wasn't for those opportunities, I wouldn't be going that far as a comedian, so to speak. But I do believe that the Bahamas has potential in terms of, like, you know, comedy really working. Because Bahamians are pretty funny, honestly. They do have some weird reactions, I do say. While it's tough to, like, you know, to really, like, you know, stand out and comedy-wise, I do believe I have something that, like, nobody else has, honestly.
So how do you get gigs? Like, now, you're perfecting your craft. You're writing your jokes. You're trying to perfect the jokes, right? There are about like four or five comedic spots in the Bahamas or in New Providence, and then there's one or two open mics, right? How do you maneuver yourself or elbow yourself into a space to say, well, I want to perform here, or I am out auditioning here? How do you get that appointment? How do you get someone to say, okay, I will make space? What are you doing to do that?
Well, nowadays, I kind of just, like, use the Orange Co. group, the WhatsApp group.
Say it again, what kind of group?
Oh, the Co. Orange WhatsApp group.
Okay, what's that?
It's basically, like, a WhatsApp group for, like, aspiring comedians, artists, dancers, singers, all that kind of stuff, you know? The Bahamas Orange Academy group. It's just basically, it's like a networking system that they'll post flyers for anybody who needs, like, to apply at these certain events, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's how I got my first comedy gig, actually.
So tell me that process. I want to envision it. So you're inside this WhatsApp group. It's a Bahamas Orange Economy. They promote opportunities for various artists, right? And you see a flyer or you see an event happening. What happened then?
Well, then I just apply for it, honestly. Like, either by the Gmail or by sending, like, a WhatsApp message or whatnot, you know? That's how I got my first official paid gig. And that's how I got my latest acting gig just in general.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the acting gig. You're an actor also?
Affirmative. I'm an actor as well, actually. I dabble. I learned. I first started acting in 2021. And I think it was spring of 2021 with Ms. Nixon. That's Daisy, by the way.
Miss Daisy. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know you mentioned Miss Nixon before. I didn't know who the word was, but I know who my Daisy is.
Yeah, she's more identifiable by that name, honestly. I realize that now. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So you get an acting gig?
Yeah, affirmative.
Are you in any type of play or thing or you just audition for it? How did that go?
Oh, I did audition for it by sending my demos. I record myself acting and I just sent it by Gmail, honestly.
And she responded?
Oh, by... Oh, do you mean Miss Nixon or?
Yeah, Miss Nixon or anyone.
No, I got my acting training, my lessons from Miss Nixon.
I understand now.
But the acting gig, I just sent my acting or monologues to the person and they liked it. And so I was able to get a role for it.
We have a caller here. I want to hear about this monologue thing. Exactly what did you record yourself doing? But let's go to this caller. Guy in your AM, go ahead.
Good morning. I catch the beginning this morning. Coffee, I catch the beginning this morning, but... I had to take a little break, so I don't know if I missed something. Mr. Forbes. You say Forbes, right?
Affirmative. Mr. Forbes, that's me.
Okay, listen to me. I want to know a couple things, Tim, right? I don't want to know, like, if you're on YouTube, right? Or something where we can check it out. Because for right now, Nuri, it's just talks, right? So maybe he could, if nothing on YouTube for us to check while we're listening to the show, right? Maybe you could give us an example rather than just telling us, giving us the information which you're giving us or telling us what you like doing with comedy, right? Give us some examples. You know what you sound like to me? And I only go by hearing, I can't see.
He's black.
You see the comedian, what will have, like, what you call them, a dummy or something? Or what you call them, a puppet or something?
A ventriloquist, yes.
Give me a small, give me a lighter word than ventriloquist, because break it down.
A puppeteer, I believe.
Huh?
A puppeteer or a puppet master.
Okay, a ventriloquist. Okay, you sound like a guy who could do that. I say, do you have when you was growing up, did you have a speech impediment? Like, do you stammer a little bit?
Affirmative, actually. Growing up, I was a mute as a child. Up until I was, like, age 5 or 6, I just could not speak at all, honestly.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that when you was growing up, you had a stammering problem?
Affirmative. Well, more like, I just couldn't speak.
At one point in time, you wasn't talking at all until you was 5 years old.
See, I don't know you, right? But from hearing you when you started the show and you was talking, I only could listen to you, and then the questions will come up. I say, I wonder if he had a speech impediment problem growing up. Do he stammer? I say, he sound like he'll do good with those, with the little dummy them or they something, the puppet them, what he sound like. He need to give us an example to see how good he is, and maybe we could give him some business and see, might go into. And you see that thing when you say you get a master in? That's what they be doing with them people, and when the people come to them.
Mm-hmm.
Arkin, they be Arkin movie, they be doing comedian. You just have to do a lot of, how do you say it, when you pretend, forget what the word is, what you could use, but the psychologists and stuff like that, yeah, they be doing just like comedians. So I think you getting that degree, it'll help you if you're serious into this comedian thing. And what you think about Nephew Tommy? I think he's one of the best we get in the world. Or what Nephew Tommy do is something different than what you'll do. I'll hang up and listen. That's a bunch of questions.
No, I appreciate you, man. Thanks again. You know who Nephew Tommy is?
Oh, I never heard of him, honestly.
Steve Harvey and Sherwood Nephew Tommy. They do on the radio comedy where they call people and have a conversation with them and have see how people react. And Nephew Tommy does comedy. He comes to the Bahamas every so often, too.
Really?
To Joker's Wild over PI. With Naughty. Yeah, but that's good. Let's continue. But I didn't know, you didn't mention to me that you had... I wouldn't call it a learning disability, but a delay in terms of speech when you were growing up.
Affirmative, actually. Oh, apologies. I've got to know that, actually. But yes, growing up, I was a bit of a mute, honestly. I couldn't really, like, speak at all. I don't know why. I guess I was a late bloomer, I believe.
Mm.
And I never got fully diagnosed, so I don't really know for sure. But yes, growing up, I just couldn't speak at all. And so...
Now you're talking plenty.
Affirmative, honestly. So yeah, I guess... That's the reason why, maybe that's the reason why I don't have a Bahamian accent, honestly, because whenever I try to do, like, Bahamian, like, monologues or whatever, I just can't speak Bahamianese. It is so difficult, I do say.
I understand. Papa wanted to have you do one example of your comedy. Hopefully you have something you could use that I can actually play on the radio. Or you can say it on the radio where Erka don't call me and where Dwight don't call me into a meeting. But I mean, if you want to throw in one joke, if you find some, I know I caught you offhand, so there's no pressure. Just saying. Mm. If you have something, go full ahead. Just remember that this is my side gig and I like this job.
Okay. In sake of your side gig, because I know I get very explicit sometimes, I don't curse, I just say very weird stuff. I could say where you could find me. Is that fine?
Yeah, you might go ahead. Promote yourself, man.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I'm basically on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And my handle is Mr. Kino E. Forbes. Just my full name.
For all?
Affirmative.
Okay. So Mr. Kino E. Forbes. And I can see videos and recordings and things like that.
Affirmative. You will see like shorts, full comedy sets, all that stuff, honestly. So yeah, of my time in the Four Walls, the Tuga Bar, all that stuff.
Have you ever been booed? I mean, I've been booed. I mean, come off the stage, my eyes red. Terry, right? So I ain't doing this no more. You all behemoths don't appreciate talent because you know I think it's funny. Have you, as a comedian, on stage, full stage, doing your thing, right? And people say, man, no, yo, find something else to do. This comedy thing ain't for you. You ain't funny at all. Yeah, go do construction. Good, find something. Have you ever had something like that?
Well, I wouldn't say I was like booed because of my comedy set. Mainly because like, okay, I was booed one time. It happened at the Four Walls. No, not the Four Walls. No, it happened at the Dundas Open Mic Night. Yeah, the Dundas Open Mic Night. I never got booed at the Four Walls or at the Tuca Bar at all for any comedy set I did. So, before that, like context is key. So basically, in my last performance at the Dundas, which was at the Four Walls Squash Club, I made some weird jokes talking about a certain person. I can't say the name.
Go ahead for now. Yeah, I mean, you don't got to repeat it. Go ahead. Who were you making fun of?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Just don't talk about the joke. You just say
okay, gotcha. So I was making fun of Daskway, not in like in a weird time. I made a like warning or whatnot. You know, I didn't like, you know, was like vindictive or meant anything bad.
Yes.
I was just making fun of the character, Duppy, you know?
Duppy?
Not Duppy. From Pro Bosses.
Oh, okay, I understand. That's the character Duppy. I understand.
Affirmative.
Okay.
I think it was that. Because I was also talking about like, you know, autism, because I understand autism isn't a thing like discussed point in Bahamut. So I was kind of thinking maybe it was either the Daskway segment or the autism segment that I really didn't like, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they didn't boo me. It just that like from that set, maybe the same people who didn't like that set came to the next set. And when I was talking about the like the different comedy, which is what like it was the comedy on and I know his name, I can't say on air, because like we can't use double entendres on a station.
What do you mean double entendre?
Oh, you know. Like,
no, go ahead. Just continue. Go ahead.
So yeah, I was doing that set, and it was a good set. It worked at the Four Walls place. It works.
It was well received at the Four Walls place, but when you went to the Dundas,
yes,
well, you had crickets.
Well, not like crickets. It's more like some people liked it. It's just that there was so much going on, because that particular like open mic night, which was the last one at the time. It was very disorganized, honestly. And so, like, you know, just seeing all these delays, just having, like, a comedian making cheesy jokes, they didn't like it, honestly. And so I was kind of booed off because, like, the person, Jason, didn't thought I was, like, that bad. But I guess he thought that, oh, yeah, I was getting booed off. And so he came to take the mic, like, in a very, like, kind way. So, yeah.
Jason's good. Yeah. Honestly, fine. Yeah. He promotes talent. So I guess he's making sure you're okay.
Oh, affirmative. But I wasn't like burning up or anything. It's just that he kind of saw like, oh, the audience kind of reacting in a weird way. So they kind of have to take me off stage.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to show people off stage. To save you for the next act.
Ah, yes.
So you don't crash and burn and don't come back at all. But you have an experience where the crowd didn't embrace you readily, but you still continue?
Oh, affirmative. I mean, it wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't like that bad. It's like, it wasn't even my fault. It was just like, oh, I guess that these audience, well, you know, everybody's a critic, yeah, as a certain squid says. But yeah, like I said, I don't think it's my fault, because that comedy set did like really well at the Tuga Bar and the Four Walls. So I didn't thought it was bad at all.
One of those places had libations, and the next one didn't have that many. that could be help. How do you choose your topics? You mentioned that you were talking about autism, being on the spectrum, right? And you're not sure if people receive that well or even think that, like, autism is funny, right? Perhaps. I'm not saying that's what the case was, right? And then all of us can consider ourselves on the spectrum in different degrees, right? How, when you attempted that joke, did you bring it on yourself first? Say, well, by the way, I am on the spectrum too, and I'm going to tell a joke based on me. Or you came from an outside and say, your people are on the spectrum, and I'm going to make fun of you.
Oh, no. I would never make fun of anybody on stage, honestly. The only person who faced the butt of the joke is myself. And so I was just making fun of myself and just, like, certain ways why I would say I'm autistic. But with good reasoning, of course. But without, like, without understanding that, you know, that autism is a serious thing. Because because we make comedy, I also like make warnings and try to explain, like, I try to be funny and also explain like the need to learn about it as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned autism in your jokes and awareness on one of your sets?
Affirmative. I try to do as much as I can in like 5 minutes because it was also a super value. It was also a super value on an autism set, so I try to do as much as I can.
Yeah. So again, how do you choose your sets, like the topics? Like, what do you do? Where do you be? What space do you be in to say, hey, I want to create a joke on this? Because I know you said you're working on a set right now, fine tuning it, polishing it for audience now. Like, how do you find a topic and crafted it into be a 3 minute, 4 minute, 5 minute segment? How does one do that?
Ah, yes. I'm not gonna reveal my secret formula, but
no. Go ahead.
I will say how I like basically like come up with these comedy sets. I don't know. It's such a weird thing because like it's so hard to explain it. Honestly, it's just like a spur of the moment. You know, sometimes I just feel like, oh yeah, I should work on this. Now other times I'd be like, oh, I want to work on this. It just kind of happens. Honestly, you know. Like, it's so hard to explain because, it's like telling an artist, like, why did you make this art piece? What really spoke in you? And like, and chances are they just don't know. It just like it's more of a spur of the moment. Honestly, that's the best way I could describe it.
Yeah, we're gonna take a quick break right now. We're gonna have the producer run us into a commercial, and when we come back, we continue to speak to Kino E. Forbes, comedian. Psychologist, if I could say that, right? You have a degree in psychology. And his journey to become a comedian, right? We turn about the ups and downs, things that he overcome, and what makes him funny. When we come back, we're going to go into detail about his content again. Where can we find him? We go over that one more time. And just to more information about his journey. Guardian Radio AM with CN Nuri. We'll be right back.
Call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologists can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Looking for your dream job in paradise? At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, we're hiring. And with over 200 positions available, we're confident you'll find your perfect fit. Whether you're passionate about keeping guests safe as a lifeguard, or if mixing up refreshing cocktails as a bartender is more your speed, there's a spot waiting just for you. Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career to explore openings and apply today.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. We're doing one of those humanities type of thing, right? We have a guest in studio. I met Kino E. Forbes on the street. And I said, man, come into the studio. Let's talk about this journey you're doing. This idea that you're trying to become a comedian in Nassau, Bahamas, and survive. You're trying to have it as a paid gig. And our government has promised the Bahamian people that they will develop the orange economy. being a comedian is part of that orange economy, that space where your talent, your skill, your the arts and crafts will make a way for you, right? You are now pursuing to be able to be paid for telling jokes. You get one or two gigs that have paid you already, and you're looking for opportunity to be perform, to perfect your skill and your talent and your trade, and that's happening for you now, right? Earlier, I was asking about content, right? About content and how do you find your jokes, right? In the Bahamas, we have all kind of things happening, right? We have issues about immigration. We have issues about housing crisis. We have issues about education, right? And I was asking you, how do you find your content to write jokes? And all of these are like what I call hot button topics, right? Let's see a caller calling in right now to engage you. When you form your jokes, when you perform perform your jokes, you form it and then perform your jokes. What picks your mind? Say, that is what I want to do. I want to talk about this and formulate a joke about this. Give social commentary in a comedic way about this. How do you do that?
Well, I would say, my comedy style is learning through laughter, so I do strive to be fair and honest whenever I talk about like serious stuff. Actually, like my upcoming comedy set, I try to talk about in the 5 minutes I can. I try to be more understanding and try to explain to the Bahamian public that I don't think I can say this on air, right?
What do you want to talk about, Bahamian?
I don't think I can say this.
Who? Yeah, man, it's simple. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. So yeah. Oh, my next comedy set is based on BPL, and I just want talk to Bahamian people about that, honestly, while talking about a different subject, just to tie in the funny aspect to it, And so the setup to it is more like a moral message. And how I do a moral message, since Bahamians, their attention spans isn't that great. And so I try to make it funny, make the moral message as funny while being engaging as well.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller who wants to engage you. Let me allow this caller to pitch their thing. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio.
Hey, Forbes, back again. Forbes, tell me something. Do anything for the children? You sound like you even could do voices, like SpongeBob and others. You doing anything for back to school on YouTube when you get a chance, or TikTok? I didn't go on YouTube to check it yet. I still listening to the radio to hear you do something. Like I was saying, that master would you get, right? Would you be in this university for? And this thing, and this comedian thing, what you want to do, I think it's a serious combination. I think it can help in situations. I don't know if you heard story. I don't know if this thing would you get a master for. What you call it? Psychiatric or
psychology. You get a bachelor's degree in psychology.
Okay. Do that help with people who have mental problem or who we call a little crazy? Okay. Let me give you an example. I met some people over the years, right? Say they've been to this place where they deal with, without calling any names, Nuri, where they deal with mental people, right? They was in there, right? And they were showing me and telling me how they play baseball and softball and football. And I was saying to myself, man, if they have this mental problem, that'll be really kind of scary to give them bats and balls. So he was explaining to me, and he was telling me he could do it. And he was doing everything without a ball and a bat. And he was swinging till he's swinging fall when you swing with a bat. And he put on a helmet, no helmet on, strap it up and everything. And do all of these things. And then you hear stories where in jail where they have some in this part where they call the F block. They either throw feces and stuff. So, Doc, I could call you Doc, I believe. Dr. Forbes, how do you deal with, why did you study anything like that where the doctors maybe will have those patients will be playing a game, females and males, no ball, no bat, or nothing? Is it a reason why they do that if it does be done? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Wait to hear you do one joke break.
You need to find one joke to tell proper man, proper way to laugh. But go ahead.
I'll try to, honestly. Hopefully, I'll try finding something that's safe, I would say. Okay, while I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and you said something about, the individuals, use bats and balls to play. Is that right?
Say again, I'm sorry?
You're saying how the individuals at the war just use bats and balls.
He was saying that the people was imagining that they had bat and ball and they had it as a reality.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But he wanted to know if you use your psychology degree into your comedy and how to help people. And then he also questioned whether, because he loves your voice, he appreciates your voice, that you could do voiceovers, right? Commercials, comedy with your voice. Your voice sound good, basically, or found funny. But go ahead, do comment on that.
Ah, honestly, I guess I'll answer for the voice segment. I would love to do more commercials and stuff that appeal to children. Honestly, I would love to if the offer comes to me. You know, mm-hmm. I am searching for employment in that regard as well. So, I have thought about also recording myself like just reading like old Bahamian manuscripts, Babuki and Barabi. I was thinking of recording myself reading those transcripts and just posting on my YouTube channel. I was thinking of doing that, but I'm not sure how successful that would be. So it's more like up in the air at the moment. But the point she was making with the individuals imagining that there was a playing with bats and balls, I guess from what I learned in college, I guess that's a form of I think hallucinations and also schizophrenia, I believe. And I guess how a person who is studying psychology would treat a person like that, who if they're trained, I guess it would take more of therapy, particularly cognitive behavioral therapy, to try convince the individuals that what they're doing isn't real, the items that they're imagining isn't real, and try to get them to understand, I believe. That's the best way I could put it.
That's fine. Did you find anything yet? Or you want to tell you a joke for Papa? I mean, whatever you can find, safe enough.
A joke that is safe enough. I'm thinking. I know for sure I can't use my latest set. That's for sure.
What is your latest set about?
Oh, my latest set?
What is it about?
I can't say the title because the title is weird.
Well, you can mount the title so I can see you read your lips. Because you know Urkel's be listening to. I mean, everyone from Urkel and I just put their ears to the radio to see what you're talking about.
Oh, well, it's basically I really can't describe it. It's because it's that weird. It's a cool segment where I talk about the first time I try to get a girlfriend. That I'll put as that.
The first time you try to get, did it work?
It failed painfully.
Yeah.
It was like a spur of a moment, honestly.
Yeah.
Could I make a pun joke?
Yeah, you can. You talk about BPL and BEC. They okay.
Ah, I guess. The most safest joke I would say.
I went with a hair about you getting a girlfriend, but that's okay. We can leave that alone. Let's talk about BPL.
I think we need a different radio station for that because it's very explicit. I would say.
No. You keep that to yourself.
Oh, definitely. Oh, I will. I will. I guess. What is the acronym for BPL mean?
Bahamas Power and Light.
You sure?
Come on, I started talking about.
To me, it's the Bahamas Power Loss Corporation. I can't use my best jokes. It's just cheesy.
No, it grows on you. I feel the joke, the laughter coming out.
It just the other part of it, it's just very explicit. That's kind of what my comedy is, honestly. It's just very, weird.
It's suggestive.
Very suggestive. Oh, suggestive is the thing.
You have another one?
I'm thinking. I can't use any joke of my other comedy.
We have to get a vacuum cleaner and clean up some of these jokes so you can go on the radio and tell it.
I'm thinking. the best thing I'll say is if you want to check out my jokes, check out the YouTube channel. Honestly,
give me the channels again so people can just go there one time and hear the jokes.
I really try to preserve your joke. I'm like, okay,
I appreciate that.
Yes,
I appreciate it
because I can't use any of
the payday this week, so I don't want you to mess this up.
Oh yeah, definitely. So I can't use any of the jokes. I realize, man, none of these things are
sense. It is Thursday. They send people home on Thursday. They don't even wait on Friday.
Really?
Yeah, don't worry about it. That's a different joke. I was showing how I funny.
Oh yeah,
but you have to understand what I talk about. See, people laugh because she understand. Because I is funny. I is me funny. Baby. Go ahead. You finish.
How about you make a joke of the joke you told me yesterday?
What joke did? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, This is when I was at COB, and I think I got booed off. Right, And the jokes were different back then, 20, 30 years ago. And the joke started, do you want, ask an audience, do you want to hear a dirty joke? That's the punch, not the punchline, but that's the start of the setup. I asked the audience at COB, do you want to hear a dirty joke? And of course, everybody responded, yes, we want to hear a dirty joke. And then the punchline comes in, a white horse jumped over a fence and landed in a puddle of water. You didn't laugh at that, April. And the white horse jumped over the fence and landed in a puddle of water. Like, it was mucky. The water was mucky. It was a dirty joke. The white horse get dirty. You catch it?
It's cheesy, but it's good.
It rolls on you. You know, it's like hot, taking pepper, and you taste it afterwards? No, April? No, April. Okay. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. We had in the studio today comedian Keanu E. Forbes. You can see him on which part? How do you find you again?
Oh, you can find me on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter. Mr. Keanu E. Forbes.
There you go. Mr. Keanu E. Forbes. Have a wonderful day.